שלום, אנחנו בהכנה לכנס קבלה לעם.
Hello friends. We'll be starting with text from the World Kabbalah Congress of 2018 in preparation for the Congress. Lesson number 3, we're all one family. Questions all in one heart. One man with one heart, and the text can be downloaded on our website.
The purpose of creation is that the created beings will attain the Creator and will reach a degree, a state of wholeness like Him. And for that, they must be integrated with two states. A state of separation called exile, klipa, shell, shattering, ruin, Pharaoh, Amalek, and the state of wholeness called the Creator, light, bestowal and love. If the created being is comprised of both of these contradictory, opposite discernments, truly from one end to the other, then he attains the whole of creation, as light excels out of darkness, over every discernment. And out of that, he also comes to know, out of these two extremes, the thought of creation, the intention of the Creator in creating, the intent of the Creator in bringing the created being to the end of correction. And of course, it is impossible to attain anything except through the end. And therefore, we must always understand as correctly as possible what Kabbalists are telling us about the end result and to compare it with the beginning of the act. And through that, we will have a scrutiny of the state that we are in. As one man in one heart. There are several approaches to the scrutiny of the situation, of the created being, of creation. One scrutiny. When we see creation from the state that we're in, each one in his will to receive, and as much as he has to make efforts to connect himself with what seems to him as outside of himself, what his egoistic desire depicts to him as something that is far away, outside of his own body, outside of the person's desire. In circles that are from those that are nearby to those that are far away, there is a different perspective. When I imagine everything not the way that it seems to me, in my broken observation, that seemingly my glasses are broken, shattered, and I see everything as divided into many, many pieces. Rather, instead I say that this puzzle exists only in my corrupted field of vision. But in truth, everything is connected, everything is one. And not two, three, or many. There is no such thing. There is only one picture with one created being and one creator filling him up, and that's it. There is nothing else than that. And then my scrutiny could be the opposite, that I constantly perceive this complete picture, that it exists, that it is not false, rather it is true. And every time that it seems to me that something is revealed as something that is broken, immediately I arrange it, I rise above it, that there is no lie, no shuddering. It is all only because some Rishimo appeared in me, and it gave me this form that something is broken in my system of vision. And therefore, immediately, I bring myself back to wholeness, to adhesion. And this way, each and every time, I go not from the broken state to the whole one, rather I am in the complete whole state, and each time I make sure to maintain it. Well, let's say there are a few other forms for how to approach everything, but these two are actually the essential ones. We will talk about others some other time.
So
let us now make some comparison between the two of them. If we are in a state where we are all broken and we somehow try to unite, what is our work in that compared to if we are whole and all the time we care about how to not to leave the wholeness? What is more comfortable, good, easy, accessible in terms of the convenience, let's call it, and also in terms of the intensity, the power, the pace of the work, the pace of the correction? Please. So, as one man in one heart, either from the broken heart to the whole heart, or keeping the complete whole heart.
To come one after the other.
Rav, how do we depict the complete whole state? All over the world, everywhere, in every incident, it is always whole. We are in adhesion in the whole of creation with the Creator, and this is how we live everything. In truth, that is the real state. That if not for the shattering in my perception, of reality, this is how I would see things. This is what I discover at the end of my correction. There is no group or friends or world or anything. It is all one form of the revelation of the Creator in the created being. That is, what does it mean as one man in one heart, which is the topic of the lesson? Indeed, there is only one man, one desire, one heart. How can we establish such a perfection of reality before us and live in it? What kind of popped in my head is,
how do we constantly depict the group in a state of wholeness and always maintain this, such that only this image, only this form is in our our perception of reality? Everything is whole. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, in one vessel. That's it. We have a commandment like that. So we're working seemingly from the side of perfection to constantly, always discover, well, if according to the upper program all kinds of corruptions are discovered, we need to complete them, to add them, join them to wholeness. So our concern, our constant concern, is to strengthen this wholeness. How do we do this in the group? Because it seems to us that this is very easy. much easier than to advance from a broken, shattered state. Is that true? Please. That's the hardest work.
Rav, how do we work in a state where we are in wholeness, in I awaken the dawn? I am as an old man who is searching for what else to add to the wholeness. From wholeness to wholeness, from wholeness to wholeness, all of the time, this way we advance. Please.
Never falling asleep on this perfection.
Rav, when we determine that everything is in wholeness, and indeed it is so, and there is a commandment for it, then we, after that, need to take part in this wholeness. How do I practically take part in this wholeness?
In practice, this is even in the darkest, worst state.
Rav, by myself, to awaken the wholeness on the left and to complete it on the right, and this way to advance so that I have two reins in my hands. And already I am on the path, on the way. And I never come out of the wholeness, as it says. Let's go. How do we manage ourselves in wholeness that is constantly intensifying, increasing by us?
There will always be more work in it.
Rav, this means that wholeness is the force of bestowal, love, that is constantly flowing between us, filling up the ten, and elevating us higher and higher each time. And what we're searching for is how to add, right? One to the other, and everyone together to the Creator. This is called to be in wholeness. So, let's try to be this way, and let's approach the lesson. Are there any questions, please? Yes.
I didn't really understand. What do we need to make an effort in regards to right now, regarding the state of wholeness? How does our effort to be in that state, how is it manifested? It seems something very far away.
I am in a perfect state. And the upper providence, in order to advance me, awakens in me, in all of my senses, my feelings, my understanding, my thoughts, my emotions, in my mind and heart. It awakens in me all kinds of disturbance that are outside of wholeness in order for me to do a scrutiny on them and complete them. So, what is the question here? I simply want to see the world as it is, in truth, and not in my corrupted perception. And for that, I have many commandments, many directives. Love your friend as yourself, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And in general, there is none else besides Him, and more and more. If I keep these pieces of advice, let's call them for now, then I need to see everything as whole, as perfect. Kabbalists write a lot about it. And we always looked at things from the side of the shattering, from the side of the broken Adam HaRishon. But why not see it from the other side? This is a very well-known approach. That the world is whole, everything is whole. There is no one who is cruel at the house of the king. And I must only cope not with the external things, but with my perception that is broken. So?
Meaning that I constantly look for how my perception doesn't align with that image that you just depicted, and then to do what?
Then I have to correct myself.
All right, and how by asking to correct?
Yes, by asking, by being in a group, for whatever place there is a corruption, there I need to see how I complete it. Until, again, there is none else besides Him, good, that's good.
No. Sorry for...
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, I don't understand what's the addition here compared to just holding on to there's none else besides Him in all states, for example.
Because here, to begin with, I accept the world as whole. And only my vision can corrupt it. And if it does corrupt it, then I see in that an action from the side of the Creator in order for me to complete myself and come back to that complete world. Yes?
What does it mean to evoke perfection or wholeness from the left?
No, let's not get into that. Wholeness from the right, or you have the shell of the right, you have the shell of the left. Let's not talk about it. It's better if you read for us. So, lesson number 3, right?
Yes, lesson number 3 on the subject of as one man in one heart. From Baal Sulam, Shamati 199, to every man of Israel.
So, if so, we try to see everything from the side of wholeness, as one man in one heart.
Every man of Israel has an internal point in the heart, which is considered simple faith. This is an inheritance from our fathers who stood at Mount Sinai. However, it is covered by many klipot, shells. And the shells, all of them, should be removed. Then his basis will be called faith alone. Again. Every man in Israel has an internal point in the heart, which is considered simple faith. This is an inheritance from our fathers who stood at Mount Sinai. However, it is covered by many klipot, many shells, and all the shells should be removed. Then his basis will be called faith alone.
This means that we will reach a state as this degree called our forefathers at Mount Sinai. What is that point called our forefathers at Mount Sinai? Of course, we're not talking about history or geography or anything. As it may sound in words of this world, what does it mean, our forefathers at Mount Sinai, that this point exists in us, and it is simply covered by klipot, shells, and we need to remove the shells and reach that point. Please. Of protections instead of entering this connection.
At this point, which we can discover as the meeting point between us. The people of Israel are called a group which meets with the Creator. This is the occasion of Mount Sinai, the state of Mount Sinai. The point of connection between us is called Moshe, so there's a meeting. And this point is called simple faith. Yes, that's what Baal HaSulam calls it, that every person of Israel, which is directed that way, has an eternal point, which is considered simple faith, a point of simple faith. But it's covered by shells. So how do we remove the shells in order to come to this simple faith? What are the shells which conceal this simple faith from us? And what is this simple faith? Where if we perform this work, we come as a group which is adhered to the Creator in that first point. So please.
Aware of that state of hatred. Quote number 2 from Rabash. Make for yourself a Rav and buy yourself a friend. Those people who agree to unite into a single group and engage in love of friends, it is because each one of them feels that they have one desire that can unite all of their views, so that they receive the strength of love of others. There is a famous say by our sages who said, as their faces are not like each other, so their views are not like each other. Thus, those who agreed amongst themselves to unite into a group understood that there isn't such a great distance of views between them, in the sense that they all recognize the necessity to work in love of others. Again, those people who agreed to unite into a single group and engage in love of friends, it is because each one of them feels that they have one desire that can unite all of their views so that they will receive the strength of love of others. There is a famous saying by our sages who said, as their faces are not similar to each other, so their views are not similar to each other. Thus, those people who agreed amongst themselves to unite into a group understood that there isn't such a great distance between them in their views, in the sense that they all recognize the necessity to work in love of others.
What does it mean that there's no great distance of views, disparity of opinions? They're all different people. They can be very far away from one another, from different countries altogether and different cultures. Everything depends on necessity. What does he say? That they understand the necessity of the work in love of others, meaning as much as there's disparity between all these cultures, places, tendencies, perceptions of reality, it's different in each person by human nature. They need to overcome this precisely because they have a necessity to achieve the goal. And the goal can only be achieved through connection. And the partners for connection, they cannot pick by themselves. And of course, they would choose other people, perhaps closer, perhaps more sympathetic to them, more likable. But the Creator arranges this and brings whomever He brings, and I need to accept this. I need to accept this and understand that according to His choosing, these people are the most properly, most proper for this. And they come out of the revelation of the general Kli, and I belong to that same group, that same region, the same missions, tasks that they belong to also. So how do we look at, how do we view the necessity of connection by looking at the group as if it is whole? Is that understood? How do we depict the group as whole, in wholeness, and awaken it to the necessity of connection in order to attain the purpose of creation? Please. I feel that this matter of wholeness is seemingly weakening us, not allowing us to scrutinize, to process things, and to attain this inner system and live in it. But a group that's whole, that's it. I am... removing from myself seemingly the vessels, the instruments with which to scrutinize, I weaken my actions. Why? When I say that the group is in wholeness, did I by this disconnect myself from attaining wholeness? When I say that it's in wholeness, but do I feel it? What does it mean for me to be in wholeness with the group?
No.
Wow.
Tov.
Well, item three.
Item three. From Maor v'Shemesh, Light and Sun. It says in the Midrash that which occurred to you upon your path, at Asher Karcha Baderech, which comes from Karcha, cooling, which means that their fire of love was extinguished by their cooling down. Since at first they were warm and excited towards each other, but Amalek caused them to become cold and chilled off their love for one another. And by what did he cool them down? By self-importance and pride. Because the main thing that brings one to love his friend is by each and every one of them lowering himself and seeing himself as despicable compared to his friend. Always finding flaws in his own actions and seeing the righteousness in the actions of his friend. And he sees him as great. Therefore, he loves his friend and he is united with him. It is not so when he sees himself as great and he is full of pride. Then he naturally sees his friend's flaws. And because of that, he hates him. Because his friend seems very lowly to him. And Amalek, he caused Israel to cool off the love and enthusiasm which they had before towards each other.
So here, there is a power which helps us advance, called Amalek, meaning in order to receive, Almenat Lekabel, and it lowers, always lowers, the group which wants to advance. It always lowers it from connection, and brings to them opposition, resistance, collision, hatred, pride especially, most especially is pride. In each one, and the inferiority of others in the eyes of each and everyone. That is the work of Amalek. Our will to receive works, operates that way. To increase one in his own eyes and to humiliate or lower others in his eyes. And if the will to receive is discovered that way, and we keep working on wholeness, meaning we want to ascend the mountain of God, through greater connection, adhesion between us, by depicting there's none else besides him, good and benevolent. That's good. Then Amalek helps us. So how do we awaken ourselves beyond Amalek? Meaning, how do we nevertheless attempt to locate these disruptions on our own? And not that all these, what do you call them, on them, the guardians, those guards, they jump at us, they want to throw us back down so that we roll off the mountain back down. But rather that instead we ourselves depict these disruptions and climb. How do we do this? How does one who is in wholeness search, like that old person, what kind of disruptions do I have on my path? I do not agree with this wholeness. I want to be more precise about it, more accurate. I want to advance further into bestowal and love of others, even though I have no need and no aid against him and nothing for him either. Please. This is an opposite act to the Creator's. He created the egoistic will to receive opposite him, and we need to perform this work, but in the opposite manner, in his direction.
Quote number 4 from letter number 2, Bala Sulam. I shall advise you to evoke within you fear of the coolness of the love between us. And although the intellect denies this depiction, think for yourself. If there is a tactic by which to increase love and one does not increase, that too is considered a flaw. It is like a person who gives a great gift to his friend. The love that appears in his heart during the act is unlike the love that remains in the heart after the act. Rather, it gradually wanes down each day until the blessing of the love can be entirely forgotten. Thus, the receiver of the gift must find a tactic each day to make it new in his eyes. This is our whole work, to display love between us each and every day, just as upon receiving, meaning to increase and multiply the intellect with many additions to the core, until the additional blessings of now will be touching our senses like the essential gift at first. This requires great tactics set up for the time of need.
So here we see the solution for how to be in ever-increasing wholeness. What does he say? With all your might to increase the love of every moment, even though you are in a whole state, a state of wholeness, and you have no urge, no need for advancement. Your egoistic desire doesn't push you to emerge out of that state. You're in a good state. But if for a moment you remain in that state, this is called klipa, shell, right? Because you're in it already. Yes, and then you must reveal with every moment renewed effort to advance towards the renewal of the love in action. So how do we, in the group, feel ourselves in wholeness. There's none else besides Him, good and benevolent. Everything is wholeness. There's no shattering. It's all imaginary. We're in a whole state. We just need to come to that whole state in a manner which is whole. So how do we constantly awaken ourselves to add to the love in practice? What does it mean? We're in this world, right? This imagination doesn't vanish for now. So how can we, with what we have, add love with every moment? Go on. Read it again, please, Dudi.
I will advise you to evoke within me fear of the coolness of love between us. And although the intellect denies this depiction, but think for yourself, if there is a tactic by which to increase love and one does not increase, that too is considered a flaw. It is like a person who gives a great gift to his friend. The love that appears in his heart during the act is unlike the love that remains in the heart after the fact. Rather, it gradually wanes each day until the blessing of the love can be entirely forgotten. Thus, the receiver of the gift must find a tactic every day to make it new in his eyes each day. This is all our work, to display love between us each and every day, just as upon receiving, meaning to increase and multiply the intellect with many additions to the core, until the additional blessings of now will be touching our senses like the essential gift at first. This requires great tactics set up for the time of need. So how do we scrutinize, how do we critically analyze our whole state each and every time to bring it to greater wholeness? The first question that we had from the get-go, but now we're in the group, we're in this world, we're in the study, we're in all these conditions. They need to give us the possibility to add love. By what? How? Although I see a whole state, how can I add to it? Or maybe think of it differently. How can I come up with a certain tactic so that next moment the love will not wane or disappear? How can I ensure to myself that the next moment I will maintain the love, which is the same as adding to the love? How do I promise to myself to remain in love, love of others, love of the Creator all the time? What tactics do I need to come up with? What kind of effort do I need to be in?
No.
Start working with this, with those inner wheels. Let's go. And I don't understand what state of wholeness are we talking about.
We're
How do we obligate to bring gifts to one another throughout the day and to respond correctly to the gifts we receive? Please. How do we try throughout the day to bring gifts to one another and to respond correctly to the gifts we receive? Because without that, the love evaporates, how do you say it? Disappears, erases, is forgotten, cools off. So, talk about it. That's the change. Rav, can I, should I, am I allowed to hint at the friend that I want to receive a gift from him, and what kind of gift? Is it so wrong that if he knows what I want, he would be happy to do something to me that I would be happy about, no? Why is it wrong if I will disclose to him one way or another, directly and indirectly, what is my deficiency? That I want it specifically from him, and maybe something else from someone else? Is there anything wrong about it? Why are you in doubt about it? If I'm in bestowal to him and he wants to bestow to me, I'm doing him a favor by disclosing a deficiency, because then he knows in what way he can make me happy. Exactly. Right or not? Rami, you don't agree. You disagree? If your wife says that she wants a $500,000 ring, why aren't you happy about it? So what are we doing in the group? Think about it. Can we disclose the deficiency to one another, and is this deficiency good? Where does Rabash write that we know in general what the friends want, or do I need to know exactly what I need, how I need to bestow to him? Everything is written. We skim over it as if it's understood, as if it's a given. Tell him to find it. So for the time being, we're thinking. Is it possible or not to hint at the deficiency, to disclose the deficiency to the friends and allow them by that, give them an opportunity to bestow pleasure to me, and they will receive pleasure from bestowing to me exactly what I expect them to bestow? Deficiency that corresponds to fulfillment. I think that between the loved ones, this is something natural. On the contrary, each one is, they're doing a favor to one another. And who's giving a gift and who's doing a favor? You can't find it. It's not like merchandise that changes hands between merchants. Why so quiet? Talk about it. This is spiritual work between us. How do we disclose the deficiency to one another to give the friends opportunities to increase the love and not cause, God forbid, some cooling off of the love?
The change here is not towards the one who asks, Rabash 1, what is the Torah being given out of darkness in the work? Excerpt number 5. The Torah is given specifically to the deficient, and that deficiency is called darkness. This is the meaning of the words, the Torah was given out of the darkness. That is, one who feels darkness in his life because he has no vessels of bestowal is fit to receive the Torah, so that through the Torah, the light in it will reform him, and he will obtain the vessels of bestowal. Through them, he will be fit to receive the delight and pleasure. It follows that the Torah was given specifically to those who feel that their will to receive controls them. They cry out from the darkness that they need the Torah in order to deliver them from the darkness, that is, the control of the vessels of reception. Rabash, Volume 1. Again, the Torah is given specifically to the deficient, and that deficiency is called darkness. This is the meaning of the words, the Torah was given out of the darkness. That is, one who feels darkness in his life because he has no vessels of bestowal is fit to receive the Torah, so that through the Torah, the light in it will reform him, and he will obtain the vessels of bestowal. Through them, he will be fit to receive the delight and pleasure. It follows that the Torah was given specifically to those who feel that their will to receive controls them. They cry out from the darkness that they need the Torah in order to deliver them from the darkness, that is, the control of the vessels of reception.
How do we discover, in what way, under what conditions, with what efforts, we can disclose a deficiency for the Torah? Interpret correctly what is Torah, and how do we disclose or discover the deficiency for it? Please. To correct that, Rav, in what way are we entering Egypt? In what way are we coming out of Egypt? And then why do we demand the Torah? What does it mean entering Egypt? What does it mean exiting Egypt? What does it mean receiving the Torah? When does it happen? I'm now before the entrance or after the exit. I've gone through the 400 years or less. I'm escaping. Why do I need to escape Egypt? How do I prepare myself for the giving of the Torah, for the receiving of the Torah? What kind of darkness do I feel? What we call it, the darkness of Egypt. Like utter darkness. Where then?
Moscow.
Добрый день, мировой Кли. Здравствуйте, Рав.
Hello, World Kli. Hello, Rav. Denis is asking, please tell us, can we build this time schedule in order to increase the love in the ten? Can we increase the love in the tens according to a certain schedule?
I told you, do it throughout the day, let's say today. Of course, do it.
Yeah.
But by what? We are learning about the will to receive. It was created. It began to appear. Begins to appear. The Creator created it, and is starting to reveal more of it towards the created beings. And then the will to receive is revealed in the small degrees, and then greater and greater and greater degrees. So much so that it appears in Babylon in a way that already includes all of humanity that's there.
then after this humanity enters, you know, it's only called Babylon, but Babylon is a certain spiritual degree. It's a revelation of evil. It's not geography. Don't look at geography. Then part of Babylon, part of this will to receive, goes through further duplication, and we see greater will to receive, great quarrels, great problems. The Torah tells us about it. It's only the will to receive that's growing. Then he enters a state called Egypt, and the will to receive grows. It appears more and more. And we see how bad it is until we want to run away from it. We want to run away from that big will to receive. But we want to escape it, not because it's evil. Again, nothing happens that is bad. I don't want to talk about Babylon and confuse you. Even in Babylon, there was nothing bad. There was nothing bad. Also in Egypt, everything was very good, except for one thing. The question that we discussed last 2 days, I think. The meaning of life. Why do I live? The meaning of life, the purpose of life. Why am I alive? That's the question. That is what ruins life, and only for that everything happens. Because that question is what aims us at the Creator. He is the problem. Because we can't obtain the meaning of life, the purpose of life. Why am I alive? Except through attaining the source of life, which is the Creator. So when this question appears today in the world, it's clear that the world is starting to be more and more guided by the upper providence towards the revelation of the upper force. Now, following the state called the exile in Egypt, what do we see? We see that we can't come to the meaning of life, the purpose of life. You can't solve the question of why am I alive if I'm inside my will to receive. I must rise above it. So we run away from the will to receive, reluctantly. We don't want to run away. We're not discovering this necessity for it. We're not exiting Egypt. Only after we see how much the will to receive swallows us, then against that we want to receive the Torah, the method of correction of the will to receive.
As kol pam anachnu tzichim legalot et ha-hoshech.
So each time we need to discover darkness in a degree, in a greater and greater degree, and a more substantial degree. What is darkness each and every time? Meaning deficiency that I want to fill. This is called darkness. What is it? So we have to come to a state where my darkness will be when I don't have vessels of bestowal. This is something unrealistic. It's unreal. The fact that we expect this deficiency to appear in us through the reforming light, and all of our actions are in only to awaken that light. Okay? What's up, Chika?
It's hard for me with what you're saying.
It's hard for everyone.
Because you tell me the Torah was given out of darkness. What, darkness? Then I get the Torah when I feel darkness?
I don't know, your speculations with those things. Torah, darkness.
Why does darkness bring the Torah? Why darkness?
Because a person wants to receive the reforming light above the darkness in which he wants to attain the reforming lights. He wants to return to the good, to good, who does good? What is that? The quality of bestowal and love of others. Bestowal to other and love of others. For that, the Torah was given. You should know that. I don't know what you were taught when you were a kid, but this is, we're learning that in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The Torah was given, yeah? I created the evil inclination. I created the Torah as a spice because the light in it reforms. Reforms to what? How does it reform to the evil inclination? It returns it to the good. Good is to bestow and love, to give, to rise above oneself, and to give everything to the other.
So what is the darkness you're talking about?
Darkness is that I'm unable to bestow.
So how do I come out of this darkness?
Come out into this?
How do I come out of this darkness?
First, how to enter this darkness?
Enter that darkness?
Of course. Why else are we spending 400 years in Egypt? To feel that we're unable to come out of this darkness. We're unable. What happens before the entrance to Egypt? They try to connect. They can't. Sons of Jacob, they don't want to connect. They can't connect. They don't have no idea about it. Only Joseph is pulling them, as if he's pulling them to Egypt. They don't want it. They feel great in their level. Everything is good. Joseph is pulling them into Egypt. He's bringing them back forcefully into Egypt, where they have famine. He brings them back to Egypt. Forgive me for giving this corporeal depiction. And then they begin to understand that there's a problem. We must connect. And everything is seemingly fine. You know what? Egyptians are nice and good. You can live. You can enjoy. You can be there independent there. Pharaoh guards you. You are inside your ego, inside your will to receive. This ego is keeping you, is maintaining you, is giving everything to you, is telling you you're going to advance in trade and commerce and industry, and you can take trips wherever you want, everything. Whatever you know from this world. The ego lets you have it and even guards you. The Pharaoh guards you with all of his army and everything. Only one thing is no. When what is revealed to you, what are you missing?
Emptiness.
Emptiness, that's means the lack of attaining the meaning of life. That's it. Then, only because of that, we begin to things get complicated. Everything is good in Egypt, but it begins to be complicated. We begin to look for why are we alive. And the Pharaoh knows how to incite and do things, so we come out of Egypt because we feel darkness only in one thing. Everything is there, abundance. Whatever you want, no better state than the land of Goshen in Egypt. Not a better state. And we never had a better state. It will be only at the end. But why in the end? Because they'll be able to connect the land of Goshen with the light of Israel, with the land of Israel. So what am I trying to say? Only because of this one question, what's the meaning of my life? Life that is so expensive, as he writes. It's the only thing he's writing about. Let's answer one famous question and so on. Only that. This is the question of Adam, of man. And for that, he needs the degree of the Creator. So we come out of Egypt only from frustration. In Egypt, you have everything. You want to stay an animal? Please, like everyone. Everyone is like animals. Please, it will be nice and good. But the Creator doesn't let you have it. He awakens in you this question that belongs to the degree of man. and you must leave. And the people of Israel sighed from the work. They're not able to attain in the will to receive the fulfillment for the question of what's the meaning of my life. The deficiency that appears extinguishes all the other egoistic degrees that are full of all the good. You ate and you're satiated and you're sleeping on pillows, right? And you're coming, you're covering yourself with several blankets and music and
billions in the bank.
Yeah, of course, that you don't even see it. But this question, when it comes to us from a higher degree, it erases everything. If you succeed in confusing yourself and remaining in the lower degree in your ego, then sure, for good. For that, all the media, all of our education institutions, everything in our life in this world work to keep a person on this level. What is Pharaoh telling Moses? Why are you so... What are you doing with the people? Why are you confusing them? Let them live nice and well. I'm responsible for keeping things good in a good way. Only Moses and Aaron. What are those kind of riots? The group of Bnei Baruch is starting to, you know, create a mess. We have to chop them off. The Pharaoh is very soon will come to take us to court, and what? Yet Hanoch doesn't agree to it, and he's telling everyone, "Look, what is that? Our Torah is, you know, he lived in them, he didn't die in them. That's how it is." Maybe we should start something else. You're today a little... It's not me, it's probably you. That's why he writes that those who feel darkness in their life because they don't have vessels of bestowal, then he's qualified to receive the Torah. And not before that. And receiving the Torah is the method of correction, the wisdom of Kabbalah, that aims us, directs us how to reach fulfillment in the upper light and in the desire to bestow and not in the desire to receive through corporeal pleasures. Please. What?
He says at the end of this excerpt that they need Torah in order to bring them out of darkness, which is the dominion, the control of vessels of reception.
Of course.
But there is a difference between the control of vessels of reception to not having vessels of bestowal, or there is no difference.
The control of the vessels of reception, meaning the control of the will to receive in order to receive, the intention to receive. I want to come out of that.
And the moment I come out, that guarantees that I have vessels of bestowal?
Yes, because those are the same vessels. Only the intention changes. We don't have duplicate vessels. There's no dual will to receive. On the one hand, to receive, and on the other hand, to bestow. It's the same will to receive, except only one desire was created.
So I'm looking at from within the ten. My vessels are the vessels of the ten, once in order to receive, and another time in order to bestow. How can I, within the ten, to understand the difference?
What is my vessels in the ten? I don't understand that.
What does it mean in order to receive when I'm looking inside the ten? What does it mean in order to receive?
You want to discover that? Then you're discovering that everything, you're all connected to one another, but with the intention not to enjoy one another, but not, this state in the Ten is called Pharaoh, when we are willing to tolerate one another, because we're all aiming to receive pleasure from that state. That kind of attitude towards one another is called Pharaoh. He's controlling us, he's ruling us. That we discover that. Then we understand that we must run away.
Can you describe how it is when we are in order to bestow, when we're ready to put up with each other?
We have to exchange the intention from in order to receive to in order to bestow. And this is done gradually. First of all, we rise above that state completely. This is called escaping Egypt, because while in Egypt we cannot begin to correct it, so we disconnect from that huge will to receive in, that's between us in the group. We seemingly rise above it, and we begin to gradually correct it. That's after the receiving of the Torah.
That perfect state we spoke about during the lesson, it starts from escaping Egypt, or also inside Egypt, this is the perfect state?
Even after Egypt, it's not perfect. Begin to correct the will to receive from the moment called exodus from Egypt. You can't correct anything in Egypt because you're really under the will to the rule of the Pharaoh. That's why it's called a miracle. There aren't that many miracles. But coming out of Egypt is called a miracle. It's a powerful force that comes directly from the Creator, from Ein Sof. And that is what allows the group, the ten, to rise above the enslavement.
Ken.
I don't understand what kind of fullness are we talking about if eventually more slices of shattering are revealed.
But when those slices of the shattering appear, I enjoy it. If on the right hand I have the strength to correct, and in the left I have the correction appears, I enjoy it, because in each action, the revelation of the corruption and the correction, the revelation of the corruption and the correction, I give contentment. The action of contentment is what I'm doing. How else can I do it?
And what corrects those corruptions?
What corrects the corruptions is when I turn to the Creator. My plea to the Creator corrects the corruption, invites the correction, let's say.
But how do you have it? Let's say you just described a state where you have it. Corruption from the left is revealed to you, but you already have the correction on the right for it. So what does it mean that I have a correction on the right?
On the right hand, I have the correction with which I turn to the Creator, because I have a certain state in Arvut, in agreement, a state where the Creator established for me, and I can turn to Him. I don't correct it myself, but it means that I'm correcting by turning to Him.
So how do you equip yourself with the ability to turn to Him for Him to correct?
We have to work on it in the ten if it's not clear. I imagine myself that I'm always able to turn to Him. Why not? The friends, the ten is such a thing that whatever you want, it shall be. As long as we just want it together. The ten controls the Creator. Controls the Creator like a baby who controls his mother. Whatever he demands, he will receive. But they have to be ten. A baby is an egoist, is a small animal screams receives from mommy. Here, no. Here, it's certain that if we try to do it together, we will need to annul one another, respect one another, connect. It will be above our ego in something. Then we'll have the plea to the Creator. We'll have equivalence of form. We'll have contact.
So there's a 10 which constantly, well, more things that needs to be corrected are revealed in it. More corrupted things.
And if not, it is in deficiency from not revealing it.
Excellent. So what is the response of the 10 where they all want the same thing? How out of the corruptions being revealed? Because I see this is not the way it is.
What do I mean the same? Of course nobody wants the same inside, because each one is from another desire. How can it be? We also can't check it. I can't say what you feel, what he feels, what everyone wants. But we all want to be connected, because in him our hearts will rejoice. And we're aimed at him, the force of bestowal, the general force of bestowal. And we remain sfirot, or midot, virtues. We're different. And more and more different as we ascend.
We're different. Everyone sees the correction differently. So what does it mean that we all want the same thing?
What do you mean, see everyone's different?
One says we need to correct this way, another says another way, and so on.
We need to correct only one thing, the connection between us until the Creator is revealed. Then it means that we've attained the connection. What do you mean, each one thinks differently? When he will be revealed, each one will discover him differently. Let's say, each sphira in the 10 sphirot discovers the upper light differently, of course. According to its structure, according to its integration, and each sphera also includes 10 sphirot, and each one of the 10, another 10, and another 10. Each sphera is a universe in and of itself.
No.
So in this process, every time a greater shattering in the 10 is being revealed according to their ability to correct it, if I understand it correctly.
Again?
In the 10, every time it is revealed to the 10, a shattering according to its ability to correct it.
Yes.
And the response for the shattering should be?
That we want to connect. Other than that, there's nothing. You have to return to Adam Rishon, that system.
It has to come, it has to be expressed physically in this world, or
it has to be in the 10. I don't care about this world.
What does it mean in a 10?
There is no the world. Everything is imaginary except for the 10. It is also imaginary because it has to be revealed in as 10 sphirot.
In my eyes, I see a shattering in the 10 of the same 10 friends that I have. What does it mean that now in the 10, which is something imaginary, that I'm performing a correction?
You are trying with everything you have to locate deficiencies in connection and pray for everyone to the Creator.
It's
hard to believe that we're discussing the same for such a long time, same thing for such a long time, but it's true. That's how it should be.
Rav, a united 10 cancels the ego. A united 10, a 10 which have united, who have reached a one common desire, does it cancel the ego?
No. What do you mean? It rises above the ego. Now, in order to raise them even more, an even greater ego is revealed, so they can rise even higher. Our ascent is possible only when you reach the screen, the cover. And the ego grows, and you need a greater cover. Everything comes from the still. inanimate. Everything comes from the ego. You simply have to work with it correctly. Oy, oy, oy.
What characterizes spiritual wholeness, and how is it similar to feeling of wholeness in vessels of reception?
Spiritual wholeness is built on the Creator. Wholeness on vessels of reception is built on an egoistic, tiny egoistic filling that is in our vessels.
How is it expressed? Wholeness.
Wholeness in vessels of bestowal?
Yes.
In global world. Global love, I'm sorry. The love of the world.
And what is the place of the happiness, of the enjoyment? We said, when we ask you, how can it be a state of wholeness if we see that there is a shattering? And you say that you enjoy it, that it leaves you in a state of wholeness. What is the room of joy, of happiness?
The place of joy, of happiness, is when the shattering appears only to celebrate wholeness, celebrate it, because he exists. And now he appears.
So what is actually the difference between describing a set of wholeness between us to make an effort to hold on to there's none else besides him, the good and benevolent?
It includes everything. The wholeness includes all those discernments.
You describe the exodus from Egypt, that there's the first part of running away from it, and another part which is to come to Mount Sinai and draw the reforming light. Can you please, let's say, during the day we keep trying to strengthen the connection between us, and then what we do is we think a lot about the light that reforms, to change our nature, to come to the morning lesson with a demand, and so on. What is that stage of running away, and only then to ask for the light that reforms?
Escape what?
Escape the intention in order to receive. What does it mean to escape the intention in order to receive?
To escape Egypt means to escape the inability to connect. I don't know how to express it. Because other than that, everything exists in Egypt. All the pleasure and good and flavors, everything. Other than bestowal, everything is there. Those who want to reach bestowal, to annul everything besides that, those people come out of Egypt. They are called the sons of Israel. Meaning you receive nothing. You come out to the desert. You have nothing. No cover. Right? You're taking only empty vessels. And that's how you're coming out of Egypt. So what is the symbolism in that? The question, why am I alive, is pulling you forward, and everything else you're willing to give up without any calculation.
We, in my perception, we cannot connect.
And you'll not succeed in connecting. Why are you looking at me like that? Because you're unable to connect, and you will never be able to connect. You need to turn to the Creator. And you're not doing that. You are going to connect. How can it be?
In order to turn to the Creator, you need the light. We need the light to change us, right? Or wrong?
I don't know, light or no light. Just know that this is a state. The connection comes from above.
In order to turn to the Creator. So before we have to...
Each one prays for the others. And if each one prays for the others, then those prayers become one prayer.
So what is escaping here? What does it mean?
Escaping because we're unable to be in the will to receive any longer, and we must rise above it. And then the people, the sons of Israel cried out. And then comes this power that draws them outside of their ego, above their will to receive. Otherwise, they're unable to hear anything when they're inside the will to receive. They need to be cleansed of it to some extent to receive a new sense, a sense of bestowal. This is the meaning of the Creator is doing a miracle and taking them out of Egypt.
Escape means to scream, to cry out to the Creator.
To escape means to rise above the will to receive, which is what the Creator is doing in them. We're going to... Going or not going? We're going to the next part. Okay. Task? Okay, it's later.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson, but before we do, let's sing a song together. La 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 la.
בואו נגלה את הקשר שבין כל האנשים, בואו ונראה מעבר לכל ההבדלים, בואו ונגיד ביחד שאנחנו מוכנים להתחשב בכל הפאזל בו כולנו חלקים. בקרוב הקץ למלחמות, את הכל עוד אפשר כאן לשנות. בואו נגלה את הקשר שקושר את הלבבות, נתחבר כולם ביחד ונתחיל סוף סוף לחיות. Come on everybody, it's this connection we reveal. Come on everybody, let's discover what's concealed. Come on everybody, let's unite and seal the deal. Let's join our hearts together so we can finally feel so close. This love will end our wars pretty soon. We will live with open doors. Come on everybody, you're invited to attend. All together we will sing. What a message we will send. למלחמות, את הכל עוד אפשר כאן לשנות. בואו נגלה את הקשר שקושר את הלבבות, נתחבר כולם ביחד ונתחיל סוף סוף לחיות.